The gospel lesson is found on page 891 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As the people were in expectation, and all men questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he were the Christ, John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together again this morning to worship you. We are here for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor, for you are worthy of those things. Father, thank you that you have shown yourself to us. Thank you that you have redeemed us and reconciled us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now as we are in your presence, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and our minds in such a way that we would be faithful as your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In his book, Send This Message to My Church, the late Bishop Terence Kelshaw shared a story about a young couple by the names of Charlie and Susan. Charlie loved his girlfriend Susan very deeply. The trouble was simple enough. He just could not bring himself to tell her. They sat in the park one day, and amid the deafening silence of their own non-communication, listened to the birds. Charlie seized his chance. "Do you know what the birds are saying?" he asked Susan. She had no idea. "He is saying to her, 'I love you, I love you, I love you.'" Then awkward silence reigned again, those long silences to which Susan had become acquainted in their friendship. A thought flashed across her mind as the birds began to sing again. "Do you know what they are saying now?" she asked. Charlie could think of nothing. In exasperation, Susan blurted out, "Tell me, tell me, tell me." That's interesting. Charlie wanted to tell her, and Susan wanted to hear it out loud. And it's not just at that stage in relationships. It happens later, too. Perhaps you remember in Fiddler on the Roof, even after 25 years of marriage, Tevye wanted to hear his wife, Golda, say it. It was toward the end of the first century. The Apostle John was about 90 years old at the time, and the Christian church was not even that old. Even so, the church was struggling in many ways, including problems from within and persecution from without. Well, in that context, Jesus sought to speak to them of his love for them. He speaks as the living Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the head of the church, the bridegroom, speaking in love to his bride. Choosing John as his messenger, Jesus did speak in some very particular ways. John describes the setting where he was exiled on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea between modern-day Greece and Turkey. There, John received a vision from the Lord in which he was directed to write these letters to the seven churches listed. I know it's difficult to say them, the names of those cities, because we're not used to talking about them all the time. But on the cover of your booklet, maybe you noticed there's a map there, and it lists and locates all those different cities. What we find in these letters is a basic pattern with three common elements, which can be labeled using the acronym AIM. What do the letters stand for? Well, A stands for affirmation. The letters contain some level of affirmation from the Lord for the faithfulness of the various churches. I stands for identification. In the letters, there is the identification of a problem which needs to be addressed. And M stands for message. There is a message the Lord has for each of the respective churches. Well, through our Epiphany season, we will look at the aim of each letter to each church using that framework. In doing so, we'll see how the principles pertain to us here at St. Paul's today. Beginning today with this letter to the church in Ephesus. We're on page 1072 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along. First, as we look at the affirmation the Lord has for the church in Ephesus, three things are mentioned. Picking up in verse 2 of chapter 2, the Lord is speaking and he says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false. Living out their faith in the context of the most prominent city in the region, the Christians in Ephesus were active and diligent and steadfast in serving the Lord. They worked very hard at understanding the content of their faith and protecting the church against false teaching and false teachers. This was both crucial and difficult to do in the city of Ephesus with its pervasive pagan culture and religious practices. And Jesus commended them for that. In the next verse, he goes on saying, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. The difficulties had been prevalent from when the Apostle Paul first started the church some 40 years earlier. The pagan tradesmen inciting a riot against Paul when they saw their livelihoods threatened. And Paul later warned the Christians in Ephesus to remain steadfast against those savage wolves, as he said, who would seek to come into their midst to destroy the flock. As hard as it was, the Christians in Ephesus did not give up, but persevered in remaining true to God's word, and for that they were affirmed by Jesus. While at the risk of sounding prideful, I think there are similar ways how we here at St. Paul's can be affirmed for our deeds and toil and perseverance. I mean, you think about it, simply surviving as a congregation for over 165 years is commendable to some extent in itself. From our official start in 1852, through all the ups and downs from one generation to another, the people of this parish have maintained a witness for Christ in this community. That requires toil. From the insistence of holding up Orthodox Trinitarian faith in the early days until this day, people have stood together. We have the creeds, which package key aspects of biblical doctrine, which unite us in faith, and which we still profess without crossing our fingers or redefining all the terms. While purveyors of false doctrine will divide the church from itself and its biblical roots, we stand firm. We remain steadfast in our adherence to the faith shared and passed down by Christians through the ages, including those Christians in Ephesus. May that always be so for us. Second, having given them affirmation, the Lord then provides identification of the key problem in the church in Ephesus. Going on in verse 4, the Lord speaking, saying, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." That you have left your first love. Somehow, through all of their efforts and energies at remaining steadfast in doctrine and teaching, their own inner devotion to Jesus had faded. When their faith was new, the Ephesian Christians were doing things which demonstrated wholehearted devotion and love for the Lord. Sacrificial things done gladly out of loving gratitude for what Jesus had done for them. Nothing was too extravagant for the Lord they loved. And the result being summarized back in Acts chapter 19, "So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing." 40 years down the road, however, the Christians in Ephesus had lost that initial fire of a fervent love for the Lord. That loss was affecting their life together as a body of believers and their witness in the world around them. Good things were being done, but that was happening more out of duty than loving devotion. Admittedly, it is not comfortable to look at the possibility of that reality existing as a problem here at St. Paul's. It's much easier to forge ahead with the activities which occupy us as the local expression of the Bride of Christ than to ask if we have ceased to love the bridegroom. The danger is that familiar activity can become a preoccupation and supplant the one who is our reason for being here. If that happens, that's a problem, as it was in Ephesus. Finally, the message given to the Christians in Ephesus has three components. Verse 5, the Lord continues, "Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." Christ was calling them to remember. To remember the early days when their devotion produced extravagant expressions of their love for him. Extended times in worship without checking their watches for the time or their cell phones for text messages. Time given in worship together or alone in prayer just to be with Jesus. Spontaneous offerings which were given joyfully rather than out of compulsion. Whether responding to a specific need or simply given out of love. Going out of their way to be with other believers so that their shared love for the Lord might grow even stronger. Well, having upgraded their memory banks, they were then called to repent, to make a change in their thinking, in their desires, and in their behavior. To turn away from their neglect of loving the Lord, seeking instead to rekindle the fading ember into a blazing fire. Once having repented, they were then to get on with the deeds you did at first, to consciously pour themselves into expressing that once extravagant love in ways that are fresh and real. Well, folks, the message is the same for us as Christ calls us to remember. As a parish, we may need to remember the devotion of Rachel Wetherill, who at the very beginning held a Bible study in her own kitchen. As individuals, we may need to remember our own devotion when Jesus first became real to us and the grateful love which just about made us burst with joy. We may need to repent of the neglect of that love, to turn from the neglect and toward the Lord who prompted the love in the first place. We will always have to do those things which keep that love fresh in our hearts and in its expression in our lives. That is part of what happens when we worship the Lord together. Trivia question for you. Do you know what one of the most common words is for worship? Of course not. Unless I tell you, right? It's pointed out that the word most often used for worship in the New Testament is the Greek word proskuneo. That clears everything up, doesn't it, Steve? Hey, Steve's back here. Oh, okay, now I got it. Do you know what that means? That means literally to kiss toward. Think about that. Worship is to kiss toward the Lord. Worship is an act of love. If you ever saw the movie Coming to America, goofy movie, but you may recall that one character played by Arsenio Hall is that of a local preacher in Queens, New York. It really was a caricature. And without commenting on the questionable validity or value of his portrayal, there was one penetrating question he asked his congregation. He asked, "Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?" The question is a good one. The Christians in Ephesus had once been able to answer that unhesitatingly and unreservedly with a resounding, "Yeah, sure, you betcha." But even as their steadfast faith persevered, their love grew stale. Jesus spoke to them about rekindling their love for him. Well, that message comes to each and all of us again this morning. Jesus saying to us, remember. To kiss toward the Lord as a way of life. To rekindle the ember in our hearts that they would be set on fire with love for him. Heavenly Father, as we come in your presence this morning, we come saying, I love you. Lord Jesus, as we are mindful of what you have done to redeem us, we say, I love you. Holy Spirit, as we are conscious of your abiding presence in our lives, transforming us into the people that are more like Jesus, we say, I love you. May all of our lives reflect that genuine love as a vibrant and growing love. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.